Senator Josephson from Anchorage, the chairman of the committee. The vice chairman, Senator Victor Fisher, is present. Senator Paul Fisher indicated that he has a committee conflict schedule, and Senator Moss is hospitalized. Senator Halford of Anchorage should be here shortly. 60 years ago, the language of the Equal Rights Amendment was drafted in Seneca Falls, New York. The issue is with us today because of the introduction by six senators, Senator Vic Fisher being the prime sponsor of Senate Joint Resolution Number 1, which asks that the Congress of the United States resubmit the Equal Rights Amendment to the state legislatures for ratification. And in the Congress on January 3rd, upwards of 200 members of the House of Representatives introduced House Joint Resolution 1, which would do that very thing. I would like to welcome you again and indicate that we will take your testimony. Those senators who cannot be here to hear your testimony personally will receive the minutes and record of your testimony, and the testimony is recorded. I'd like, because of the number of people who may wish to testify, to ask each of you to try to limit your testimony to 5 minutes or less, exclusive of any questions from members of the Senate, to, in the exercise of your own good judgment, avoid redundancy or repetition of things that other witnesses may have said, and to refrain from audibly manifesting your approval or disapproval of the testimony of other witnesses in order that we may try to accommodate everyone here. At this time, I will call on the author of SJR 1, Senator Vic Fisher, who would like to make a few remarks as the prime sponsor of the measure. Senator Fisher.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I introduce this resolution because I truly believe in the freedom of all individuals. So far as I'm concerned, a person who says that women should not be discriminated against, in effect, is asking for discrimination against women. I believe the Commission on the Status of Women and other groups have thoroughly documented the reasons, and not the reasons, but the extent of discrimination. I'd like to point out, as we say in the first whereas of the resolution, that the first action taken by the Alaska Territorial Legislature when it was established, when we became a territory, in 1913, was to give women the right to vote. There were those at that time who were arguing that the end of the world was coming because women were going to have a right to vote. And the end of the world has not come, even though there's some in political power who may have lost their positions because women have voted often more intelligently than men. But so far as I'm concerned, we're dealing here with a basic human civil individual rights issue. The Constitution was written saying that it's the Alaska State Constitution. No person is to be denied the enjoyment of any civil or political right because of race, color, creed, sex, or national origin. I put just added sex in there. Initially, it said because of race, color, creed, or national origin. Well, it was shown that there was continuing discrimination against women. And so in 1972, the people of Alaska approved an amendment to our Constitution and adopted an Equal Rights Amendment. I don't think there was all the nonsense we hear today that women will be forced into battle against the enemy, that women will be equalized with men, and there won't be separate breast groups anymore, and all sorts of nonsense that women will have to have vasectomies just like men, and garbage like that. It was something that Alaskans agreed on. Now there seems to be a national hysteria, and I personally don't understand it. I don't understand why anyone should feel that women should not have equal rights with men. And that's really all it says. The Alaska Amendment has worked very effectively. No woman, I bet there's been no woman who has suffered as a result of it. No family has been broken up. as a result of it. No children have been deprived of anything, but I'm sure that women have gained, at least to some extent, as a result. And I personally believe in individual rights, in human rights, and I truly hope that the committee, the Senate, and the legislature will adopt this resolution and that we'll finally get action on the national bill right. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator. The Chair would like to recognize the presence of another co-sponsor, Senator Arla Sturgiluski, whom I understand has other
just
commitments.
Just to make a very brief comment, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, you may, Senator.
Mr. Chairman, just like to point out for the record that Senator Fisher and I had to fight as to who would sponsor this, and I'm absolutely delighted to be a co-sponsor. And just really briefly, I would hope that the committee will put this issue out very soon and let it come to the floor so that the legislature can speak to the issue. We know that during the past round of this that Alaska really took a lead role. Our Constitution, it's well drawn, it affirms the equality of men and women. I'd like to see us take the lead on this type of an action that would call for reintroduction of the Equal Rights Amendment at the national level. It's an interesting thing to me that the mail has already started, and there's this tremendous outpouring in many ways of negative comments throughout the state about the dreadful things that will happen if we take action on this issue. But I think that it's, even though time has run out on the Equal Rights Amendment, that the commitment, there's a very strong commitment on this issue, both in the state and nationally. And I think it's, unless there's action on this, I think it's just going to stay as an open wound. And I really hope that we can take action on it. I think it's unthinkable that as a group that we cannot pass a statement that affirms the equality of men and women in our country. And I don't know, we handle things that are of great monument, perhaps. We build dams, we build buildings, but to make a statement that says that everybody ought to have a chance, an equal chance at the economic sector, at rights to move into the society and participate in the job market, it just makes me very, very angry. And I think that we have to keep pushing for the right for the people to speak on this. And one thing that we found that it was not the people. The people have always supported the majority of it. It has been the hidebound politicians and those that are afraid to show leadership that have really kept this issue from passing. And so it's ridiculous to say that a majority of the people do not support it. They do. It's simply that the people as a whole have not had the right to. And there's been a strong movement among the very many feminist groups to get elected officials that really represent the majority elected, and I think that issue has to continue. So I hope we can make the statement, and I commend Senator Fisher for putting this bill in.
Thank you, Senator Sturgiluski.
As Senator Sturgiluski, I have another committee meeting, so I hope I can be excused.
You're excused. At this time, we'll undertake to hear the public testimony. The committee staff have additional copies of SJR 1 for those who have not actually read the proposition or want copies. And I will call people in the order that they appear on my list. And if I mispronounce a name, please excuse me. Is Barbara Coate here? Ms. Coate, would you like to come forward and take one of these chairs and testify to us? If your testimony is written, you can hand it in and read the testimony or make extemporaneous remarks or however you wish to proceed.
I, Barbara Coate, am opposed to our state legislature wasting their time and ours dragging up a dead issue. The Equal Rights Amendment was given two chances and the people of our country had their voice. I, as a 20-year resident, am offended when someone says the people of the state of Alaska, that's line 25, wish to have Congress waste more time and money on this issue. I don't. God made men and women different. One is no better than the other, but they are different. Many recent studies have proven this in babies, children, teen, and adults. Males have areas they excel in, and females have areas they excel in. An employer should have the right to decide who he wants to hire. Our state has good laws that guarantee equal pay for equal work. This is a state's issue, not a federal one. We don't like California or Florida telling us how to live our lives. Let's leave them alone, too. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Grace Brayton here.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Grace Brayton. I am the wife of a local pastor and the mother of two children. I am here today in opposition to Senate Joint Resolution Number 1 and in defense of women, particularly those of us who have chosen to be homemakers. Not every woman, in fact very few, has the dim and bitter opinion of womanhood that is being perpetrated by the feminists of this country. Many of us rejoice over the fact that we are women and that God has created us unique and distinct from men. In Genesis 1, the Bible says that God was pleased with his handiwork when he created the woman. So God himself shares our pleasure in this. In Proverbs 31, 10 through 31, the Lord describes virtuous woman. He says her price is far above rubies. It goes on to say that she is industrious, competent, strong, and wise. To say that we cannot differentiate between the sexes is foolishness. God has given responsibilities to husbands to lead, provide, and protect, and others to wives to follow, minister, and guide the house. Ephesians 5 in the Bible instructs believers on the order for the home. We have found this to be invaluable towards the peace, harmony, and happiness of our families. Yet under the Equal Rights Amendment, it could be illegal for us to make these distinctions between the sexes in our homes and churches. Even the marriage ceremony that is given in our church could be illegal and forbidden under the Equal Rights Amendment. As wives, we promise to love, honor, and obey our husbands. We follow and support our husbands. We do not compete with them. Our husbands are charged with the greater responsibility in that they are to love, protect, and deny themselves for their wives. Both parties promise to do this to their utmost out of obedience to God. The Equal Rights Amendment is in direct conflict with the teachings and beliefs of our church and the Bible. I urge you vote no on Senate Joint Resolution Number 1. Thank you.
Thank you for coming. Is Ken Mattson here?
My name is Ken Mattson. I'm here today as a private citizen, and I'm representing myself and a viewpoint which I believe is more prevalent than as generally believed. I would like to go on record as opposing Senate Joint Resolution Number 1. My main reason for opposing this measure, I believe, is that it's founded on a false premise, and that is that men and women are fundamentally the same. I really do not believe they are. Since the dawn of recorded time, men have been the providers and women have been the keepers of the home. This has been true whether we're speaking of a Stone Age culture in New Guinea or whether we're speaking of a suburban housewife in Cleveland. That has been the historical difference. Physically, men and women are also different. They are not the same here also. They should not necessarily be treated the same. For instance, in childbearing and nursing, there are two areas where the sexes cannot be treated equally, or they cannot be treated the same. We really have to make a distinction when it comes to certain physical things like this. Okay? Physical strength is another one. Obviously, there's an obvious difference between what men and women can do physically. Now, we realize, of course, there's a great overlap right here. But still, this has to be taken into account. And for a law to say that there's no distinctions whatsoever, I think is just simply fundamentally in error as to what's actually going out there. Two, I oppose this measure because it is deliberately vague and is a Pandora's box of legal complications. What it would do would be to throw open the entire body of lawyers and judges, which would allow the judiciary, a branch, a de facto veto on any piece of social legislation. This, I believe, would be seriously threaten our current freedoms. Our judicial branch is almost inaccessible to the control of the people as it is. Once a judge is in, it is almost impossible to remove him. And yet those are the very people who will, in an indirect way, will actually be making our social legislation, because they have the power to say what laws are constitutional and which ones aren't. So, as much as I sometimes have severe disagreements with this particular body right here, both houses, at least I can say this: I have a recourse in that I can either vote for you guys or vote against you. In other words, I, as a private citizen, have some means of interfering and acting in the political process, whereas with a court, your judicial branch, I have virtually no say in what goes on. Okay. On line 21 and 22 of this resolution, I would insert the word yet. Let's go there. I'll read it to you. Whereas negative results predicted by opponents of the state provision guaranteeing the rights of women have not yet materialized, and the constitutional amendment has not presented any difficulties yet of that sort. I think that would be a more accurate way to read this. Historically, I'd like to point out a few examples where the intent of the Constitution has been, I believe, altered beyond what the original makers of that law intended. I can't very well see the original Constitutional Convention, which put together the United States Constitution, ever realizing that particular document would ever be used to justify slavery. Yet in 1857 it was. I'm sure they didn't intend for slavery to be justified, and yet it was. Okay. Two. That same Constitution, the United States Constitution, what has been used as a means of banning prayer. The first amendment to the Constitution actually tried to keep the government sector out of religion. That was the original intent of it, and I think that could be clearly shown by historical evidence. And yet in 1962, it was used to ban all prayer from school, and that just got to the point now where there's almost none at all. That was not the intent of the original law framers of the Constitution either, and yet that happened. Three, it was not the intent of the original Constitution to set criminals free on legal trifles, and yet our Supreme Court did that. Four, I do not believe that the original framers of the United States Constitution had the slightest idea that their document would ever be used to justify abortion, and yet it was. And now, from some of the remarks I've heard earlier from some of the senators, I'm given to assume that merely because the intent is to create equality in the political realm and in the job place, it will not be used for all kinds of devious and ridiculous things. They're saying basically we're to trust the court, not to promote foolishness. Yet I see in the very record of the court a lot of foolishness that has been perpetrated. So, you know, you cannot say, well, we intend something good and therefore no evil will happen. I mean, you know, that's a very naive notion of what goes on in the political and judicial process. Three, on line 17 of this, 17 or 19, I better check that. Excuse me, that's on line number 19. We have the statement that we're here, one of the provisions of the Alaska State Constitution was to allow women the opportunity to achieve full potential. And I just want to point out here that there's kind of an a priori assumption that full potential of a woman can only be achieved somehow in the labor market and in the political realm. And I believe, first of all, you know, we're kind of fighting a prejudice that says, you know, because we're against this piece of legislation, therefore we're against women being in the marketplace at all, or we're against them having any type of political process. And that's taken too extreme. That isn't my position. But I do say that my position is this, is that women do have a right simply to be a homemaker and not really be assumed that, you know, they have to get out into the marketplace. And I believe that this kind of carries that kind of assumption that I think is just kind of a dangerous notion.
Well, Mr. Massey, if it is unreasonable for people to presume that views like yours suggest that the woman should not be in the marketplace, might it not be unreasonable to say that the proponents want to foreclose the option of being a homemaker to a woman or not to be in the marketplace? Would you grant me that, that people on both sides of this issue might want women to have options in the way of individual choice in their lives?
Okay, I think I see what you're saying, and I don't want to go so say as to say every supporter of the Equal Rights Amendment wants to bar people from the home. Is that, if that's what you're saying?
Well, yeah, because it was suggested in earlier testimony that the amendment will interfere in the way women may choose to order their lives or the way families order their lives, and I looked at the language of the amendment, which would only say that equality of rights under the law shall not be denied or abridged by the United States or by any state on account of sex. It doesn't do anything about how husbands and wives want to order their lives or what career choices, if any, a woman wants to make or what career choices, if any, a man wants to make. Those private options are left untouched, it seems to me.
Well, I guess that's where I differ with you on that particular thing. I believe that a court interpretation could lead to far-reaching consequences which would make that invalid. I guess that's what I'm saying. Let me just go through my testimony here so I can move along and let other people get in here. There are two areas which I believe there are a legitimate reason to address. One is equal pay for equal work. And I certainly believe that's true. Another is the fact that I believe that women should have the political rights of voting, holding office, and things of that order. I firmly have to affirm that. However, what I do want to say is that the civil rights law and the EEO law, as well as several directives, already allow for the non-discrimination in the marketplace, and that in the United States, in the Alaska Constitution, already these political rights already exist. So therefore I'm saying that why bring about a constitutional amendment which would have dubious legal complications and all kinds of possible interpretations which could have far and devastating results. I think that right now it's basically an open enough society that women could achieve these things without the benefit of this law. And that's basically all testimony I have.
Thank you very much, Mr. Manson. Any questions, Mr. Manson? No, we appreciate your coming.
Okay.
Is Joanne Thorson here?
First, I just have a question from when the other gentleman talked. I've always thought of this discrimination as just saying that there's a difference, and that kind of that's where my testimony is coming from. Not that discrimination is the fact that we shouldn't have any rights or that we shouldn't have rights as men do, but that when you asked Mr. Mattson the question on if this amendment would keep women from being able to make the two choices, are there laws now that prevent women from making choices of staying at home or cutting their choices? Are there laws existing now?
Senator Fisher made the point that in Alaska there is already a state constitutional amendment which does not seem to have all of the horrible effects that some people perceive.
But I mean the ones, not the ERA amendment, but the ones that are constitution now as it stands. I know it's been misused and stuff like that, but as far as it stands now in the law stand, does it keep a woman from...
I'd say, and I'll yield to the Senator on this, I would say from my own understanding that the Constitution does not require discrimination on the basis of sex, but that the view of proponents, and I'm one, is that unless there was an amendment adopted, women will be compelled to go on a case-by-case, laborious, costly, tedious struggle to ferret out each instance where there may be legal redress, and to fight those one by one, rather than to have both the normative or policy and symbolic help of the amendment. I think that is the position. But please testify in your own way. Senator, do you want to...
I think if I may answer your question a little bit further, that so far as I know, there are no laws that require discrimination against women insofar as jobs are concerned, insofar as home is concerned. And what Senator Josephson was earlier remarking about was that those who oppose ERA, this will bring about, this will break up the family, this will force bad things upon women, that it'll be bad for them. And there's nothing in ERA, in the provision for equal rights, that would do anything of the kind. I think that was the point. We were both making it.
Well, when I wrote this out, I wrote it out from the viewpoint of that there is a difference between men and women, and to say that there isn't, that doesn't wash. Anyway, my name is Joanne Thorson. I am a homemaker and a mother of two children, a boy and a girl. My husband's a chief petty officer in the Coast Guard, and I'm opposed to Senate Joint Resolution Number 1 for the following. The recognition of the difference between men and women does not in itself demean individuals. To pass an amendment that would force laws to be passed that do not recognize the differences between men and women are illogical and socially detrimental. In 1952, the Commission of Life and Work of Women in the Church of the World Council of Churches made this statement regarding men and women's differences. There is a real danger for women in the equalizing process. Equal conditions of work and living do not guarantee equal conditions for women. Women need different conditions than men do to give them equal freedom. The problems and issues of women in today's society are not going to be resolved in this amendment, but by enforcing and strengthening the already existing laws. Therefore, I feel this proposal is a waste of time and money.
Thank you very much. And I'll take that and part of my record. Is Ann Madison here?
My name is Ann Madsen. I'm an occupational therapist, a wife, and a mother. I'm opposed to Senate Joint Resolution Number 1. Truly, it has been a sad commentary on our society that women who have been forced to be breadwinners have not been given equal pay for equal work. That, as I see it, is the fundamental problem, not whether women are treated exactly the same as men. Women are not the same as men. God made them different both physically and emotionally. Why is it women and men constantly complain that they do not understand each other? They do not understand because they are different and were made to complement each other, both in their physical and emotional makeup. There are adequate laws currently on the books which protect women's job rights. Here is a partial listing of existing laws on a federal level which prohibit discrimination on grounds of sex in virtually all areas of American life, in education, employment, credit eligibility, housing, and public accommodations. The Equal Pay Act of 1963, the Civil Rights Act of 1964, the Equal Opportunity Act of 1972, the Comprehensive Employment and Training Act of 1972, the Small Business Act of 1972, the Health and Manpower Training Act of 1974, the Housing and Community Development Act of 1974, and the Federal Employee Compensation Act of 1974. U.S. Senator Sam Ervin stated in 1972, I quote, "If women are not enjoying the full benefit of this federal and state legislation and these executive orders of the federal government, it is due to a defect in enforcement rather than a want of fair laws and regulations. Since the ERA is not self-enforcing, This defect in enforcement will survive the passage of the amendment, and women will still have to bring suits to enforce their rights in employment sphere with no more remedies than they presently enjoy, unquote. I find the revival of this amendment both redundant and unnecessary, a waste of time and money. Your efforts as legislators could best be served doing things beneficial to the state of Alaska. There are many important issues that need our work and attention that have not been addressed in the past because our time and your time have been spent on this dead issue. And finally, I'd like to say that equality for women is not found in what men or women do, or even how they are treated, but the fact that we are all made in the image and likeness of God.
Thank you, Ms. Martin. Laura Harper.
I'm just going to observe.
I see. Richard Schutt.
Just observing. Thank you.
Roseanne Christensen. Robin Smith. Robin Smith. Ardith Eskins.
Akins.
Akins, excuse me.
I'm an Alaskan resident, have been for 18 years, and I appreciate this opportunity to be able to come and give my views and opinion concerning the Equal Rights Amendment and concerning your Senate Joint Resolution number 1. In this resolution, I quote, it says, whereas the people of the state of Alaska wish to have the Congress again propose an Equal Rights Amendment to the state for their consideration. Well, I would like to go on record as one Alaskan who is not in favor of the Senate Joint Resolution, and I'd like to spend a minute or two telling you why. As a woman, a wife, and a mother of 7 children, and happy to be such, I am very much in favor of equal rights for women. I'm in favor of equal pay for equal work, for equal credit, for equal education, and equal housing. There was a poll conducted called the Harris Poll, which showed that 71% of the women believed that the Equal Rights Amendment would give them equal pay for equal work. And it seems to be a well-kept secret in the United States that women have all of the laws necessary now to give them equality in these areas. Nothing new will be added to these body of laws with the passage of the ERA. The ERA is not an equal pay amendment, it's an equal responsibility amendment. Women have not been told about this. There's been no national campaign to advise women that these laws exist. There are now federal and state agencies in place waiting to help and support women to achieve these rights. And if women don't know it, they need to know it. It's also true that there have been many injustices to women before the law and society in general. And there are additional rights to which women are entitled. I would prefer to see specific injustices resolved individually under appropriate specific laws. The ERA is not the appropriate means for achieving those rights. Because, first of all, it's very vague, a very vague, simple language that deals with almost every aspect of American life without considering the consequences which could result because of its vagueness. Number 2, it would strike at the family, the basic institution of society. It could encourage legal conflict and incite legal action on every point of conflict between men and women. And it does not recognize that men and women have differences biologically, emotionally, and in other ways. For example, present laws protecting the rights of pregnant women in the working force could be challenged if ERA becomes law. And 4, the simplistic approach or the vague approach of ERA could nullify many accumulated benefits to women in present statutes, such as those now protecting mothers and children from fathers who do not accept their legal responsibility to their families. Military conscription of women may be interpreted to be a mandate of the Act. Women may find themselves locked into a system which makes no allowance for the physical, biological, or emotional differences in the sexes. I oppose the ERA method of bringing me equal rights. Equal rights are not necessarily women's rights. If indiscriminately applied, equality may abolish women's rights. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Conklin.
I really don't like this arrangement with having backs to everybody, so I want to understand kind of where I can see both of you. What I have just handed these men is a list of laws that one of the gals just read earlier. Laws that the ERA will not do for us because they're already on the books, like equal pay for equal work, et cetera, et cetera. What the ERA, as ambiguous as it's written, will do is, in fact, make us subject to the draft on an equal basis with men, eliminate boys and girls schools and colleges, deprive women in industry of legal protection against heavy and strenuous work. And I have a list that goes on and on here of things that you, Senator Fisher, seem to think are a little bit silly. However, like you say, there's nothing in the Equal Rights Amendment that says we'll be forced to do this, but on the other hand, there's nothing in it that says we won't. And I'd like you to know I've lived in Alaska for 15 years. I have 8 children. They're adopted. They're a mixed race group. I have daughters that are combination black and native. We have many different races in our family, and I want you to know that there's nobody that's paid more attention to what's happened with civil rights than I have. I've really checked into this over the years, and I just can't see where this will do a lot for us. If you say that these silly things aren't going to happen, I'd like somebody to explain why. In 1972, when Sam Irwin tried to say, let's tax an addition onto the ERA that says women won't be drafted, it was voted down 18-7. When he said, well, then let's say they won't have to go to battle, that was voted down. When he said, well, let's protect them in industry, that was voted down. Now, you may think it's silly, but some congressmen in the United States evidently felt different because those things were not added on. We were not given those protections. There are no protections in the amendment as it now stands. Senator Josephson, you said this isn't going to bother how men and women order their lives. In Sweden, men whose wives don't work are given an exceptionally heavy tax burden to compensate because the women's income isn't taxed. Money is a great deal of importance nowadays. I can't foresee that that won't happen here. I think it will. When you say that these silly things can't happen, like restrooms and so forth, when it comes down to the dollar fact that it's more expensive to build two separate than it is one, and the law says you only need one, who's going to guarantee me that this isn't going to happen? Now, I hope that in my lifetime, I don't have to see this happen, but I have daughters. I've got white daughters, and I've got black daughters, and I've got Native daughters, and I don't want to have to see them deal with the type of ambiguity that is coming up under the Equal Rights Amendment. I feel like women are responsible and have gained enough in today's society that we don't need this kind of an act. Since 1972, when it first was introduced, there was 22 laws passed in 1 year. So if you really want to do something for the state of Alaska, let's educate the women to the laws that they do already have on the books in their behalf, and don't give us a legal loophole for all kinds of problems. Thank you very much.
Isn't the passage of a constitutional amendment educational in its own right? Both symbolic and educational in alerting women to what their rights are more effectively than all of these individual statutes which have been cited as having been passed but not having really recognized?
Yeah, but this one includes not only what their rights are but what their rights aren't, you see. It isn't specific.
What their rights aren't.
Right. It doesn't guarantee me the fact that if I'm out working on a highway construction job and I can't lift as heavy a load as the guy over here. Let me give you another example. If you're working for me and I say all of my employees have to wear a dress, Mr. Josephson, and you say, well, I don't want to because I'm a man, I can say, look, the law says you cannot discriminate, so you either buy a dress or hike. Well, the problem with that is you can't go down and sign up for unemployment money because you quit of your own free will, you see? Your rights aren't protected any more than mine are. If I'm forced to quit because I can't pack 100 pounds on my back, if I have to quit because I can't do it, they're saying that I have refused to work and I can't even collect unemployment insurance. You see, there's nothing in this to protect me from that. Now, you say this is silly and it can't happen, but it can happen.
You're looking to me as if you want an argument.
I don't want an argument, I'm trying to convince you.
I would say just the opposite. I think now you have a situation where you could be fired if you couldn't carry the 100-pound load. Whereas under this, it would be, you would be assured that you wouldn't be discriminated I guess, because you are a woman, and a woman may...
Oh, but it says you can't differentiate.
That's not what it says.
Oh, but that's exactly what it says. It says you can't discriminate, I said.
Therefore, but you can take into account and not discriminate.
It doesn't say take into account. I don't see one place in there what's discriminating right now.
You mentioned the tax law, and it's interesting to me because I've heard of the marriage penalty, and I thought that under the existing constitutional situation, the Congress can and has passed tax provisions which may be, as a matter of policy, arguably harmful to certain family arrangements without DRA.
That's right. And once you say that you can't differentiate on basis of sex, Sarah Irwin tried to tack a tail on the Equal Rights Amendment 1972 that protected home.
He wanted to protect widowed mothers who live at home. And that was voted down about 17-6. I don't have the exact figures. But there was some doubt in somebody's mind whether that's what everybody wanted.
I think the doubt was whether a constitutional amendment is the place to make legislative policy choices that would stand for all generations.
Well, but that's what we're doing here, see?
Thank you.
And what you think or what I think isn't going to matter once it's law. Thank you.
Thank you.
Can I ask a question?
Yes.
For those who called in yesterday to testify and that sheet that you're reading from, you didn't get to sign, does that mean you won't get
to sign? Oh, no. We'll be sure to give everyone an opportunity. Thank you. Lillian Rudrick.
Amendment or resolution would not be the right thing to do. I feel like our nation is based on high ideals, and that is what makes this nation so great, and therefore I stand opposed to this amendment.
I'd like to just raise something, because some of the testimony and yours has talked about the vagueness of the language of the amendment. And the language is not self-enforcing, so some be enacted, but it cannot seem to me to be more vague than a situation where there is no amendment, and where the Congress is free without any parameters at all to legislate conceivably anything it wants to in this area. What I'm suggesting to you is that if our fear, I appreciate your comments because I've officiated at naturalization ceremonies, and I know that the people who go through that take the Constitution very reverently and very seriously, and maybe more respectfully than many of us who are naturally born Americans. But it seems to me that the opportunity for legislative mischief is much greater if the Constitution is silent than if there are parameters in the Constitution.
But there are so many laws already enacted that we are protected against these things, and I just feel that it's unnecessary, and because of the... I do feel that it's vague, and I do feel that it could bring so many other viewpoints in that are not listed right at this point. If it was passed, I think that it needs to be more clarified, you know, more in detail what you're really wanting to say.
Senator Fisher?
Ms. Kemp, I do respect your special concern for the Constitution, because as Joe, I've been aware of people who have gone through the study of the Constitution to become a citizen do take law seriously, and that makes me think that you have certainly in the process been aware that 10 amendments, the initial amendments to the U.S. Constitution, which have very simple phrases like no law shall be made respecting the establishment of the religion, and we've had lots of court cases over the years and people made arguments of. It's been a very big statement. It has been a fundamental statement of policy and philosophy that has guided our nation for 200 years. We have a statement, we have that particular statement in our state constitution as well. We have the vague statement in our constitution, no person is to be denied the enjoyment of any civil or political right because of sex. That's our ERA.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very vague statement, but no horrible things have befallen anyone as a result. The legislature hasn't done any particularly stupid things that I know as a result of this provision.
In that area.
I'm just wondering, it's not necessarily bad. It permits our nation to keep the same constitution
for
200 years.
That's true, and that's wonderful if it would go in the right direction. The only thing is, if it was turned to the negative, my way of negative, maybe, you know, but I think that a lot of the people that are here share that viewpoint in the testimonies that I've heard, that we're all concerned about what might happen if this was to be passed under the way it's now set up. And
you see, that I'm trying to understand this concern, and that's why I say in the last 4 dozen years, we have had this constitutional provision in effect.
Well, do you know, in my many years here, I have never felt that I did not have equal rights. And I feel perfectly happy about my, you know, my life as it is. And with the laws that are existing for the women in Alaska and in America. I'm sure there are changes that needs to be made. There are areas that are discriminating against women, and I feel that in those areas we should go out and take that particular issue and make a change of that particular issue. But I don't feel that the Equal Rights Amendment, as it listed, will do women that much good. Thank you.
Chairman.
Senator Paul Fisher.
Just listening to the gal, I guess.
All this attention I'm getting here.
What I took your statement to mean when you said vague is the fact that if this body and the other body comes out and stands a thing saying we want an Equal Rights Amendment, the phrase says to again propose an amendment, you feel that it's a blank check. And it almost connotates to Washington that an amendment, anything coming back, the state's going to approve because we initiated. Is this what you're saying, babe?
Yeah,
that there should be terms spelled out that we're not willing to buy in this
that statement. That, to a certain
okay.
point, is what I feel. But I also feel that it's, you know, I feel that the existing laws that we have are good enough, except for certain areas of discrimination. I think we need to take those up individually and make a change in those areas, but not this amendment as proposed. Thank you.
I think you feel, I think it was Hamlet, maybe, who said that it is better to bear the ills we have than fly to others that we know not of. I think that is true. Thank you very much. Sharon Mackin. Edna Johns.
You'll have to bear with me. I'm very nervous. I am a very quiet person, and I'm very slow to anger. But I'll be honest with you. Just, I wrote out a testimony, but as I read this over, my testimony that I wrote out is no good. I dearly love my country, and it breaks my heart for an amendment like this to be brought up. We have such freedom in this country to make choices, and these women. Then I'm going to name one group because I've read theirs. I have not read the others. And that's the NOW. I wish to leave the women off of it because I am part of this nation also. And it's my freedom to choose what I want to do. I've been in the working world for 11 years. My husband has never said one thing. He has always encouraged me. I have never found any discrimination anywhere. I know there has been some. And my husband has pointed out to me in different areas. But the reverse has happened. And if this is passed, it will be even worse. I heard one person say it has not affected families, that it's not created any problems. I can cite 3 divorces that were created because the woman got working, and with the discriminatory act, the man couldn't get a job because the job had to go to a woman. Right now in Portland, Oregon, my sister has a top priority job. My brother-in-law still is working, thank goodness, but a lot of the women in her organization, they're having to support their families because of the equal rights that have been instituted down there. The women can get jobs easier than men. This is completely turning our country upside down with the authority being taken away from the man at all. Any pride of being the supporter and provider of his family. I see this also as a threat to widows. If you have equal rights, where's the provision for them? For the ones who are supported by child support, it's forcing them to leave their children and go out and support their children. I choose to work, but I also honor the women who don't choose to work. And in voicing my opinion against this amendment, I ask you to search your hearts, and if you're praying then, to pray about this. And if you're praying then, to pray about this, because I do firmly believe that this equal rights amendment will create a revolt in our country. I have talked to women in Oregon and Washington, and just because we're quiet women does not mean that we don't have a voice that we want heard in this wonderful country. We're not pushy women like some of the now women that attacked me and looked at Mona one day. But we want our say to be heard, and I want to represent those women that I talked to and my family in saying I'm against this amendment. Thank you.
Eleanor Liddell.
I didn't
All right, I see that. You would like
to
answer? Please come forward. And while she's coming forward, I believe Jane Press. All right, and was the next name Bermliden? Davy, perhaps? Davy Bermliden? Cross Street? All right. Good afternoon, Mrs. Liddell, please.
My name is Eleanor Liddell, and I did not sign up to testify, but I found that as an observer, I would not be counted. So I would like to say that I am against this resolution. I would like to say that I have been in the working world for more than 20 years, and I started out with 4 small children to support and raise by myself. I have been treated just exactly like my co-workers in every respect. The only thing that ever held me back was my education. I was never mistreated because I was a woman. And I think that this country provides equal rights for women if they will take those rights. I'm sorry, I'm not a public speaker, but I am opposed.
I'm sorry, I think it was Darcy Bernlicken. Allison Cropper. Did Allison Cropper get to testify? Dixie Peterson. Shelley Burns, perhaps.
My name is Shelley Burns, and I'm the acting director of Man Incorporated here in Juneau, and we're a program that deals with male batterers, spouse abusers, and my testimony here is a little extemporaneous, and I guess I am in favor of this resolution. Those of us who work in the field of domestic violence see repeated incidences every day of the result of inequality of women. And I'm confused by the testimony against the resolution, so it's hard for me to speak against it, but I don't understand why the people that are opposing this resolution keep saying that it's going to do something to the family, when I think one of you mentioned earlier that was clearly had nothing to do with personal relationships, and it clearly says nothing about marriage vows. You don't, you know, marriage vows vary from religion to religion, and from different people make different marriage vows. So it doesn't have anything to do with that kind of stuff. That's all personal contracts that aren't legal contracts. And So I'm real confused about some of the things that people think are going to happen because we just say that women should be protected equally under the law. A lot of the women here that spoke against the resolution said that they haven't been treated unequally, and I think that's great, and a lot of people have that really positive experience, and I think there's an awful lot of other women that have had quite the opposite of experience and have been denied equal pay for their jobs that are of equal worth. Generally, predominantly women's professions are paid much less than predominantly male professions. For instance, clerical workers and nurses who generally have very high education are paid very low. Lots of times people in fields of education, particularly preschool teachers, are paid very, very low wages for taking care of the children of this country, which is a very important job. A lot of things that women traditionally do are low paid, including housework, which is generally not paid for at all. I think there's a lot of inequality, and to me that's real obvious, and I think somebody said, do we have to defend ourselves again? It seems like we've been doing it for 60 years, but if we do, then we must do that, and I'm here to do that.
Thank you, sir. I'm trying, when people testify, to get as much about them as I can, just so when I go back, I can... What agency did you say you were with?
Men Incorporated, Men Emerging Now.
Okay, is that any... Is it state-funded, private-funded?
It's a non-profit corporation that is partially funded by the state of Alaska Department of Public Safety.
And are you... Okay, I can look that up. Are you on payroll or are you voluntary?
Yes, sir. I am on payroll. Yes. I am currently the acting director. My director is on holiday right now, but I am a regular employee there.
Just a side issue, maybe we need to do a little smiling once in a while. Are you aware that secretaries make more than senators, aren't you?
I don't. Most of the secretaries I know don't make that much money. They're usually the lowest paid people on a staff.
Well, by the way, I just have read that there are 908 women in the state legislatures as opposed to 344 10 years ago when I last served, so there's... changed.
Yeah, I think that the state of Alaska is doing a wonderful job, and I think it would be fantastic if we could show the rest of the country and take the lead, because I think the fact is that Alaska is a place where there is a lot of equality for women. There are some places where that isn't true, but as a person that has come up here, you know, from the lower 48, I've certainly seen that that's very true, and it's a really good place to be, and I'm very proud of the state. And I'd like to continue to be proud of the state.
Thank you for testifying.
Senator Fisher. May I just comment that I think it'd be good for the record to reflect that there a number of formal statements that have been submitted by a number of organizations, including if you want to recite them.
Go ahead, Senator.
There's a statement by the Alaska Commission on the Status of Women in support of ERA, a statement by the National Education Association, a memorandum of support dated January 25, 1983. League of Women Voters of Alaska position in total accord with the statement set forth in the resolution. National Organization for Women Anchorage Chapter in support a written copy of a written speech by Helen W. Milliken on the Equal Rights Amendment and other subsets.
Thank you, Senator. The next witness is Carolyn Glover from Anchorage. Ms. Glover? Ms. Glover has testified before me in my prior capacity as a member of the Assembly. It's nice to see you again.
Thank you, Mr. Josephson. Senator, I was going to remind you that we had sat across from each other and been through similar things before. I think for the sake of those in the audience who perhaps don't know my position, I'm the president of Eagle Forum of Alaska, which is an organization which is nationally known and recognized, the director being Phyllis Schlafly. I didn't know we were going to have the privilege to speak here today. I thought we were not going to be able to, so I did not prepare until just a few moments ago, but I'd like to cover several issues if I might. That is that who is opposed to many of these things for women? Women are not opposed to having equal rights. We already have them. Men are not opposed to us having them. We already have them, really. I think what we're really boiling this down to is the fact that we have our rights as ladies. We have maintained, if we have maintained ourselves as a lady, kept ourselves as a lady, we're recognized as one. When I was appointed by Governor Hammond to represent the Caucasians in the state of Alaska at the White House Conference on Families, I spoke to the issues then that what would take place would be detrimental to the family. Many people opposed that at the time and disagreed that there would be nothing detrimental come out of that for families. We know today that many things did come out of that. One of them was the changing of the definition of family in America. Why do ladies need ERA? We don't need it if we are traditional in our beliefs for the family structure. What can ERA give a true lady? It cannot give her anything. What will it do for men? It will cause women to rule over men. I often say to men, you should never bow to a crying woman. We hear these women bantering that they want their rights. Men who are morally weak do the bowing. I trust we have men today who are noblemen, statesmen, to lead the way for we who want to maintain our high position of womanhood. When I speak of us maintaining our position as womanhood, I mean that which looks to that which is chaste and pure as being godly and good. The last equal rights battle, which lasted for over 10 years, boiled down literally to a battle between Phyllis Schlafly of Eagle Forum at versus NOW. Here is the NOW's most recent publication for their goals. Those of you who would like a copy, I would be happy to see that you get a copy. Their convention was held October the 9th, 1982. Their policies and goals, which now reach out in this direction, lesbian resolutions. Lesbians being taught on communications, legislation, and legal procedures. The positions that they want to take in teaching our young girls about reproductive rights and their privileges to become lesbians if they so desire. Insurance resolutions, which would cover their lovers as well as men today cover their wives under their insurance policy. They want to have feminist consciousness raising programs across America. They are now establishing national and state and local chapters that will be training women to teach other women about their consciousness raising and towards lesbianism. Prostitution will be also dealt with by NOW in their new procedure this year, their new move forward. They are moving to give a media blitz like America has never seen, to cause women to believe that they need to be elevated in their position toward their attitude toward being a woman. I think those of us who are true ladies don't need any elevation in our feelings. We're already there. We don't want to be put down. I am not opposed if they want to live morally in this category, but I believe we who do not wish to be lowered should not be forced to be lowered. I see the Equal Rights Amendment as a move to lower womanhood in our country. Another one of their objectives and goals is school prayer and tuition tax credit cuts.
Not only that, but they also will refuse to, their proposal would refuse to allow parents to say what books their children could read, saying that they could not keep anything from their children that a child wanted to read or see. I have copies here stating their policy goals. That is this year's. January of 1980, they published their plans for 10 years. They are moving on them just as the White House conference moved to give a new version of the family definition. The feminists were moving. They were also moving to have a new view of the family. The future of the family, one is quoted as saying, is an overriding feminist issue. the NOW Legal Defense Education Fund is convening the assembly on the future of the family. That was back in November of 1980 when they put forth all of their plans. There should be no dominant family form, and it is not necessary for political, sociological, or economic stability in this country, one of their authors said in writing. The family will consist of any two or more people, at least one of whom is an adult. These were new and proposed ideas of family. Now today we see people living more and more on these levels. We see people who are living together, and we see this being brought forward more and more. That they would change the tax structure so that it will distinguish on the basis and function, not such as, although a mate may not be a legal spouse, he or she may still be a dependent. To revise inheritance benefits so the property will go to the person emotionally closest, not necessarily the legal spouse. To endorse the ability of unmarried couples to borrow money, to establish a legal presumption that if couples cohabit, they intend to share. The next proposal would be protection for gay and lesbian relationships, to allow same-sex marriages, and unemployment discrimination, to prohibit unemployment discrimination against homosexuals, since the dominant partner often supports the submissive one. Change laws regarding custody by lesbian mothers, and discrimination against homosexuals in housing. Grant immunity for a lover testifying in court against a lover. Establish legal recognition for the psychological parent. Groups as well as couples must be protected, since many homosexuals prefer to live together in groups. This goes on to let you know that NOW is not a group of people just interested about equal pay for equal work.
Well, I don't want to interrupt you, really, except that Senator Fisher just read a list of many organizations. League of Women Voters was mentioned. Some of the now, we might all agree or disagree about a particular plank in what you read, but shouldn't we sever the issue of the amendment itself from these other issues that this one organization propounds in a national setting, given the fact that there are many organizations, even church groups have been mentioned, that support HJR1 in the Congress now?
Yes, many
200 members of Congress support the amendment, as a matter of fact.
I understand that, Mr. Josephson, and I understand that there are a number who understand, having a little bit of knowledge, not all of, but having a little bit of knowledge, that many of these overlap in their membership. And many of their goals underneath appear to be quite similar, having been around with some of them for some time. Why is there a debate to begin with? Because some poor, misled girls have found themselves in a web from which they can see no way out. The lady who is truly a lady finds respect, honor, and position hers because she is a lady. Perhaps what we really need is a renewal of old-fashioned morals and motherhood. The poems that we read, the songs that we sing, that move men to tears, are they not of their mothers and their little girls? Shall we now take all that is beautiful and make it cheap? Cheap morals breed cheap women. Some of us are priceless. The Constitution protects women as well as men. It is totally neutral in gender. You have no right as a man, but I do not have as a woman. There is now a move in some states by some of these who are extremely liberal, who are pushing for such things, to take care of children from birth. I just received a bulletin today, read it on the plane coming down. The state of Missouri is now putting forth that they want to take care of our children. The people say, well, these things won't go places, nothing will hurt. I heard a lady here a while ago testifying that she stood here and heard Lawyer Irwin speak, trying to get things across. We are victims of people writing laws and then how they are interpreted. And this to me is of great concern. When people say, well, you're not capable of doing this, first of all, ladies, you know, must have these rights. Well, men should have the same rights. Then they come along and say about children's rights. Then it's parent rights. And here they are now saying that children should be given to the state at the time of birth.
men, are we Americans or are we? China has equal rights for men and women. The ladies of America love our freedom. Don't enslave us. Vote no. Furthermore, I would like to say that this document today really is totally cosmetic. Our congressional delegation is already doing what this hearing is calling for. They have already presented and are presenting the ERA amendment. I can hardly believe that you men would desire for the future to be outlined for your daughters or for your granddaughters as these liberal women prefer them. I believe there needs to be a turnaround and coming back to the old-fashioned and traditional way of living, and I think most of you down in your heart would have to agree we've gone a long way from being the traditional family. I appreciated what the lady had to say who came from the foreign country, that she was appreciative of this country and wanted to maintain her freedom, and I think we need to take a broad look at the countries who've had the liberalization.
Sure. I would only like to say I resent the implication that those of us who may support this resolution don't believe in a family, don't believe in upstanding rights. I happen to be a father. I have a grown daughter who is married. I have a daughter-in-law. So far as I'm concerned, they're upstanding women. I respect them. The things that you read that some people somewhere said in some convention have nothing whatsoever to do with the way my daughter and daughter-in-law live. And if they did, there would be their choice. But please don't ascribe motives to us. And so don't put threats on us or imply that we're being immoral. And so our daughters will not be the better for this. I assure you, I care about the U.S. Constitution as much as anyone here. I care about individual rights as much as anyone here. I care about my daughter's rights as much as anyone here. And I wouldn't be doing this unless I believed that it was right.
Mr. Fisher, I can appreciate that. I certainly do not know your family relationship, have no way of knowing that. I would trust that your family would be a traditional family, that you would appreciate that style. But I believe that if you view the underlying of these things that ERA is purporting would, and has as it has moved across, and the reason it was really rejected was because these things underneath would tear down. Equal work for equal pay, none of us would reject. It is the fact that underneath that, it would take away from the home these very things that you say you appreciate. You have outlined that you wanted your daughters to have these privileges and that you believed in the family structure. It would be torn apart by the underlying movement and proposal.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, that is your opinion, and please permit me to be entitled to my opinion. That's all I ask you.
Well, these are hardly my opinion. These are things that are coming through that are actually happening. You know, when you see state legislatures moving in this direction, the rainforest laws in different states, and you see them coming, liberalizing in our state. I think a lot of us came to Alaska in hopes that it would be really a frontier of the old-fashioned kind, and we wouldn't be leading in the liberal ways. And I really put forth that ERA boils down to a moral issue. It is not one of equal pay. It is one of moral issue.
Just, I, there are other witnesses we want to hear from, too, but I did want to ask you, how many members of the Eagle Forum are there in Alaska?
In Alaska at this present time, probably over 300. I think, I couldn't tell you exact count. I didn't ask someone, but I imagine around 300 actually on a list. Now, there are many more supportive of that.
Thank you very much.
Sure. Excuse me, I should say that's really in the Anchorage area.
Dove Co.
Just call comes to the table. I thought of Just Call as the previous speaker spoke of a lady. I think Just Call is the ultimate lady I know and you know.
Senator Josephson, Senator Fisher, I'm very happy to be here today because I am a woman. I had a father who had a vision. I am a career woman. I have worked as a career person 53 years. When I was a small child, my father asked me to sit down he wanted to talk to me about being a woman. He pointed out the situation and condition that many women were in. One of the things he said to me was, I hope you will want to get an education. You have that opportunity. I hope you will use it to help women and to help human beings. And for 53 years, I have worked for the state of Oklahoma, the state of Alaska, for which I was state child welfare supervisor, and for the United States Public Health Service in Coxview, working with the health of our Native people. In 1977, I was elected as a delegate to represent the older women of Alaska at Houston. That was a remarkable experience. Having been in Alaska for 24 years, where women are ladies, and they are respected, and they have opportunities, I was surprised
to go south again and find the attitude of many men toward women and many women toward themselves. I think some women are so angry that they were born women and not men, that they have turned against women. I am a member of the U.S. Commission of Civil Rights. I believe that every woman in Alaska, regardless of her color or her race, that she has an opportunity for equal employment. In 1981, the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights made a study of women on the Aleutian Chain. I asked one employer if he employed women. He said, in certain areas, I would not subject a lady to working, and I said, why? Because she would have to lift 45 pounds. Now, we are not frail. I have lifted hundreds of children that weighed 45 pounds more. For 20 years, I worked with children in Oklahoma and here. I pointed out this also, that nurses lift patients much heavier than that. And that every day in our work in the home, we lift. We do many things. We're not frail people. There are some frail men. There are some frail women. But I do think that in Alaska, we have men and women who are equal, and that we should continue to be equal. When I was a small child, I was kept in at recess to memorize a poem. If at first you don't succeed, try again. And I am recommending we should continue to be equal. When I was a small child, I was kept in at recess to memorize a poem. If at first you don't succeed, try again. And I am recommending that we strongly endorse Senate Joint Resolution 1. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Jane Hangvik.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Jane Hangvik, and I'm representing myself today. Initially, when this resolution was introduced, there are some friends of ours that I decided that had thought that it would be a simple sort of pro forma kind of action, given the long history of Alaska's association with defending the rights and providing for the rights of women in the state. It's apparent from having heard the testimony today that it's not going to be a pro forma piece of legislation at all, and I would just like to let you know that there are probably many, many hundreds of people who will be participating as this conversation goes on through the legislative process who are not here today. I'm here to strongly encourage you to adopt the resolution. I think that the state of Alaska adopted similar resolution in 1972 by actual voter mandate.
that kind of an attitude is still prevalent. As an individual, I'd like to say that I think that there are many emotional issues associated with the Equal Rights Amendment, and that has created almost a national frenzy of emotionalism surrounded by very simple language. What the Equal Rights Amendment would do is require government.
It require government, the national government and state governments, to review their laws to see if there are any laws which give one kind of benefit or privilege to one group of people or another solely on the basis of gender. Indications are that there are some 800 federal laws currently that are gender-based. Such laws as the property rights associated with inheritance. For example, if a person or a group, if a man and a woman who are married to one another owned a mom-and-pop grocery store, which they both worked at for 40 years, and the female person died, the man would be regarded as the owner of that facility, and there are no inheritance taxes paid by that remaining spouse. If, on the other hand, the man died, the woman, under current federal law, would be required to pay inheritance taxes on that business because it is assumed that the ownership rests with the male. That kind of inequity should be resolved by adoption of the Equal Rights Amendment. There are over 800 laws dealing with property, dealing with the relationship of men. This in no way negates the differences among us. In fact, the differences among us is probably what makes living pretty interesting. The law does not affect that relationship between men and women in their own private business. What I'm talking about is things that affect laws that govern solely on the basis of gender. Other state laws that are examples of things that would be probably under surveillance by the ERA would be, for example, in the states of New York, Virginia, and 9 other states, women are not allowed to be paid for jury duty, while men are allowed to be paid for jury duty. The premise of those laws is that the women are most likely to be staying at home, and therefore would not be being compensated. Similarly, in the states of New Mexico, Texas, and Utah, a passion shooting, which is the case of a husband or a wife shooting the spouse in an act of passion. A passion shooting is not a legal defense for the female, but it is for the male. This kind of inequity is the kind of thing that would be addressed by the Equal Rights Amendment. Finally, there are advantages that are coming to light as the incidence of divorce occurs more commonly in our communities around the country. Some of the age-old notions about child custody and alimony as they are affecting men would also come into play and be up for review under the Equal Rights Amendment. Issues such as child custody and whether or not a man could receive alimony upon the dissolution of a marriage, in most states that would never be considered as part of the state laws, but it could become a kind of issue that would be more freeing to men should the Equal Rights Amendment pass. What we're talking about is a system of law that says that we cannot have one law simply be based on gender and treat one group of people differently from another. I strongly encourage you to adopt the amendment and send it on through the process so that more debate will follow. Thank you.
Thank you. You may reference to 1972, and in that year, the legislature of which I was a member was the third state to ratify the Equal Rights Amendment and submitted the voter proposition for ratification of the state constitutional amendment to the people who, as you say, mandated that change in the election of 1972.
Any questions?
Thank you, Mr. Jewel Nestegard. How many people wish to testify who have not signed our sheets?